I want to look with me here in Psalm 91 and verse 11. It says, "For he shall give his charge angels over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." We'll talk about our ways. Our ways, his ways, all thy ways. Now you know, when our Lord was on being tempted and he was hungry, fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, this is one of the scriptures that Satan quoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. When he took him, he's sitting up on the temple and he says, "I'll give you all this world and all the kingdoms in it if you'll bow down and worship me." And then he said, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And he said, "Well, cast yourself off of here, because he gave his angels charge over thee, lest thou bear thy foot up against a stone." So he said, "If you cast yourself off, God will catch you and you won't even hit the ground." And he said, our Lord Jesus says this. He said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." You don't jump off of buildings. Even the Son of God don't. He lived by faith, just like we do, as a man, in obedience to the Word of God. "But hear in all thy ways, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." Now the believer has his share of troubles in this life, but yet God keeps him in safety. What did he say there? Said, "Thou shalt not," verse 5, "thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, or the destruction that wastes at noonday." Now, 1,000 may be affected by this pestilence. Might be affected by the terror by night. Might be affected by the destruction that's in the way. 1,000 may fall at the right hand and 10,000 at the right hand, but it won't come nigh you, as long as I'm watching over you. And that's what people get afraid of. You know, "I'm going to get this, I'm going to get that, I'm going to catch this other thing." But listen, you're immortal until God gets through with you. That's just the way it is. And I'm grateful it's that way. And I'm grateful that I don't know tomorrow, but I'm grateful that God said this. This. And all, beloved, and he says there, because in verse 9, "Thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge." Of course, this is primarily speaking of Christ. I'm going to apply it to us. "Even the Most High, thy habitation." This is the place that you live. We live in God. We live in Christ. Christ our life. "There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." In all thy ways. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, if we're walking in the way, God help us to do that by our God. God says that he's going to protect us, give us the protection of his angels. Now I want to show you two things. Look in Proverbs chapter 3 with me, just a moment. Proverbs chapter 3. Talking about our ways. Everybody says they got their own way. Well, there ain't but one way that a believer's interested in. That's the ways that God has. God's way. You know, he showed his mighty works unto Israel, but unto Moses he showed his way. He showed his way. There's a difference in seeing the works of God and the way of God. And that's what he's talking about, the way of God. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Look what it says. Well, I'm in Isaiah. I'm sorry. I'll get over here in a minute. Verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto the understanding." Watch this. "In all thy ways. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Acknowledge. What do you mean? Acknowledge that I have no power. I have no ability. That I, you know, he said it's not in man to direct his own ways. And we directed our ways for years, and look where it ended us up. Now, beloved, we get up and we say, "Lord, your will be done today. You take my feet, you guide my feet, you direct my ways, direct my thoughts, direct my heart." And on it says here, look at Hebrews 1:14. Let me show you this real quick before I get into the message. Hebrews 1:14, talking about the angels now. Oh, God promised us the protection of his angels. He says, you know, that our angels do always behold our Father's face in heaven. Our angels do, he says. But here in verse 13 of Hebrews 1, But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Now watch this. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? I'm an heir of salvation. So God sent angels. According to the scriptures, every one of us have one. Matthew 18:10, you look at it. He says, go, take heed that you offend not one of these little ones, for their angels do always behold the face of our Father, their Father which is in heaven. And so when he talks about what does the psalmist mean by thy ways? Thy ways, beloved, are the ways in which believers walk in this world, the ways of God, the ways of the scriptures, the ways of the word. And I've got to show you this too. Job 23, set this message up if I can. Job 23. And what the psalmist means and what I'm trying to say is God's ways are our ways. We don't want to look at the scriptures and make the scriptures fit in and mold them to what we think about them. And we want to decide the way we want to go and the way we want to think and the way we want to believe and the way we want to walk. We want to walk in His ways according to His word. And look what Job 23:10 says. But he knoweth the way that I take. Who does? God does. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his ways have I kept, and not declined. You see that? His way. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lip. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I can do without a lot of things, but I can't do without God. God says he knows the way that we take. And so God's ways are our ways. And beloved, there's lots of things we don't want to lose. We don't want to lose our home. We don't want to lose our health. We don't want to lose our liberty. We don't want to lose our lives by a terrible way. Or we don't want to lose our way in this world, or leaving our way. It's when we're out of the ways of God that we're in trouble, that we're really in trouble. Now let me give you three things here. The ministry of angels. And he said, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. The ministry of angels towards God's elect is threefold. First of all, they're official. He shall give his angels charge. Who does? God does. He said, this is what I charge you to do. I give you charge. I give you a commandment. Huh? I give you this charge. And watch this. And then it's the personal. Shall give his charge over who? Over thee. Are you one of these? Are you a thee? Give him over thee. And then watch this. And it'll be constant. To keep thee in all thy ways. Not part of your ways. 99% of your ways. Or 50% of your ways. All your ways. In other words, he's going to keep you in the way and in the ways of God. And all... That's encouraging to me. Knowing me, that's encouraging to me. Notice the word ways. It says, the keep you in all thy ways. That word ways is plural. Plural. Not just way, ways. Ways. Well, now, there's lots of ways for a believer. Let me give you the first way that he keeps us in. He keeps us in the way of faith in Christ. Oh, he keeps us in the way of faith in Christ. That's what I want, don't you? I want to keep believing and cleaving to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul exhorted them, cleave unto the Lord Jesus with all purpose of heart. And they went preaching faith and beloved. And that's what we do. And you take Hebrews 1 or Hebrews 11. It says this, that the faith is the substance. Faith is the substance of things that you hope for. You know, we hope for eternal life. We hope for this righteousness. We hope for justification. We hope for eternity. We hope for glory. We hope for the end of this world. We hope. And yet, faith is the substance of things we hope for. But it's the evidence. Faith gives us evidence that the things that we don't see, we're going to get them. That we've already got them. That's why the scripture says these all died in faith, having not received the promises. And then it goes on to say that by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Noah prepared an ark to the Savior. By faith, Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, Abraham took Isaac up on the mountain. By faith, by faith, by faith. And then they said, by faith, they're looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. And so the just, what do they do? Live by faith. Let's look at Hebrews 10 with me. That's the way he keeps us in this way. You know, faith. Oh, he shall keep thee in the way of faith. The just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38 says this. Now the just shall live by faith. Now watch this. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And there are people that draw back all the time. How many have I seen draw back over the years? How many have we seen? If ever go back, and oh, how many have quit? How many have said, I'm tired of it? How many have I said, I just don't care anymore? But watch this. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition or unto damnation, back unto sin. But we are them that what? Believe. How long we believe? To the saving of the soul, to the time we're in glory, when we're plumb saved. That's what it is. And we live this the way of faith, the just shall live by faith. Faith in His obedience. Now when it talks about His ways there, I know this much. The only way in the world I can please God and be in the way of God is, first of all, I got to be perfectly obedient to the law of God. I got to obey this word perfectly. Now how in the world am I going to do that? Through another. Huh? By one man's disobedience, I was made sinner. By the obedience of another, I was made righteous. And that righteousness, I didn't do nothing to give it. He gave it to me. And beloved, my faith is not what caused you to give it to me. He gave it to me and brought faith with it. Oh, faith in His blood that washed away our sins. Faith in the power of that blood. Faith in the effectualness of that blood. And are we the way of faith in Him is our only acceptance with God. Oh, how are we going to be accepted? Oh, we're going to keep us in this way. God, keep us to know that there's only one way that I can approach You. Only one way I can call on You. Only one way that I'm accepted of You. And I cannot approach the Father except through Your blessed Son. Huh? Our Lord Jesus says, no man can come unto the Father. But why? By Me. By Me. One mediator. And He's not in Rome. One mediator. He's not in a pulpit. One mediator. He's not on television. One mediator. He's at the right hand of God, and He's the one that takes up our case and allows us into the very presence of God. Huh? Oh, He's our only way of acceptance with God. The only way that our prayers are heard. The only way that our lives is heard. The only way that anything we've ever done is accepted. We know this. And this is the believer's ways. This is just one of His ways. We know that without Him, we can do nothing, know nothing, have nothing, are nothing. Huh? We walk not by sight, but we walk by faith. Walk by faith. Huh? And I'll tell you another way that we walk. One of these ways. Another one of the ways of a believer is ways of obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my, we want to obey Him more than anything. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder, that He keeps what He promises to them that believe on Him, come to Him, trust in Him. You know, the believer is like his father Abraham. When God said, go, take your son. All right. Okay. He's like Samuel. When God spoke to him at night, He said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. It's like Paul, when Paul was struck down on the Damascus road. And our Lord Jesus told him, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks, amen. He said, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecutest. And oh, the first next word out of his mouth, Lord, what would thou have me to do? You know, I thought of this today when I was looking at that again. If that would have been me in that situation, the first thing I'd have thought was, He's going to send me to hell. And He struck me down. But He just admitted, He said, and I saw Him as Jesus of Nazareth, said, there ain't no hope for me. I've hated Him. I've despised Him. I got warrants in my pocket right now to go get His people and put them in jail. I'm on my way to Damascus to arrest His people. And if Christ appeared to the first thing I'd have thought, Judgment's here. But with that revelation of Christ to his heart, that day on the Damascus Road, he didn't say, "Are you going to send me to hell now? What's my judgment? What's my punishment?" No, he knew that God gave him with that call. The belief and the revelation that I got something for you to do. He said, "What will you have me to do? Whatever it is, I don't care. Whatever it is, I'm going to do it." Oh, Isaiah said when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, "Who shall I send? Lord, send me. Send me." And then I'll tell you another way, one of the ways of a believer here is that they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot, or he shall give his angels charge over you, keep in all your ways. Another way of a believer is the way of trust in our Lord's providential rule in our lives, his providence over us. And you know what providence is? All it is God's governing in this world. Him making all his will being carried out in this world. That's all providence is. You know, when something good happens, people say, "God, that's God's providence." It's God's providence if, no matter what it is. You know, things don't happen without God's providence. What providence is God just governing things. And that's what we know, this is something we really know, that all things, that's comprehensive. That means everything that happens, all things. All things in the world, all things in our lives, all things in our homes, all things on our jobs, all things wherever we go, all things from the day we're born till the day God takes us, all things work. They're moving, they're manipulated, they're going on, there's something going on actively all the time. And they work together, all these, for good.
Yes.
But not to everybody.
No.
To them. Who loved God? Why do we love Him? Because He first loved us. And secondly, they're the called. For whom He did foreknow, them He also called. He called us with a holy call. And not only did He call us, but He done it on purpose. and I tell you, beloved, this is what our Lord said. If we are heirs with Him, that if we suffer with Him, we shall also be glorified together with Him. And whatever God sends us in this world, whatever goes on, whatever suffering, there's glory to follow. Christ entered into His sufferings before He entered into His glory. And whatever God sends our way in this world, whether it's bitterness or honey, we bless His hand for it. The believer's heart attitude in all things is submission to the will of God. That don't mean that we do that perfectly. Oh, we want to. We grieve because we don't. We know that He works all things after the counsel of His own will. And when we read that and He says He works all things after the counsel of His own will, would you rather have His will than your will? Would you rather have His will working out in your life and providence and governing your life and deciding what happens in your life and choosing your life for you than your will choosing it for you? Huh? Wouldn't you? There's folks here that they've decided this is what I'm going to do. I believe it's the Lord's will for me to go here, go there, do that. Next thing you know, they find out, oh, it wasn't God's will. So they've got it in His providence to let you go so far to teach you that you're going to trust me. You're going to leave. And oh, my, I want to learn before I get out there, don't you? I want to learn before I get out there. And oh, I tell you another one of the ways of the Lord's people here that the angels give to keep us in. There's a way of honesty. The way of integrity. The way of living to the glory of God. Watching our character and conduct in this world. You know, Paul said, "I'm willing to, before God, I labor to keep a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man." And when we're talking about honesty, we're talking, look over here, 2 Corinthians 8:21, just a moment. 2 Corinthians 8:21. You know, He said, "Provide all things honest in the sight of all men." What does that mean? That means whatever you say, whatever you do, be honest. Just be honest. 2 Corinthians 8:21. You know, and when it says be honest in all things, that just don't mean when you're trading cars or you're trading nickels or something. I mean, in everything you do, be honest. Just be honest. Be honest if you're in a store. Be honest if you're talking to your wife. Be honest to whoever you're talking with. Whatever you're doing in this world, be honest. Be upright. Be honest. Just be true. Just be true. Somebody asks you a question, tell them the truth. When you're before God, be honest before God. I mean, tell God, be honest with him. I was telling the preacher this week, he has a hard time. And I was talking to him, and he's telling me about some things, and I said, you know what you need to do about that? I said, tell you what you need to do. I said, you need to tell God that. I said, just be honest with God and expose your heart to God, your fears, your anxieties, your ups and your downs, and your troubles, and how you think and what you feel before God. Just tell God. I said, just, you know, you want to know how? I said, just let it. God knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're feeling. He knows your intent. He knows your motives. He knows your desires. So just go ahead and tell him. There's things I don't like. I say, Lord, I don't like that. There's people that things that happen. I say, Lord, I don't want to, but Lord, I want to be able to submit to it. I don't want to be mad about it. I don't want to be hard about it. I don't want to be critical about it. But I want you to know how I feel about it. And that's, you know, and that's what he's saying here. And in 2 Corinthians 8:21, providing for honest things. Honest things. Keeping everything above board. Everything above board. You know, let me give you this illustration. What if somebody, if you got, through some kind of trust or some way or another, you got a hold of somebody else's money. And they had lots of it. You know, like this Michael Jackson thing. Hey, he's supposed to get, everybody's fighting to get a hold of his estate. Whoever gets hold of that money can do it, you know. Now let me ask you something. If you had control of somebody else's estate, all their money, all their property, how honest would you be with them? How much would you spend for yourself? How much would you watch out for yourself with? And that's what it means here. And beloved, what do we have for what God gave us? I can't take care of my own affairs, much less take care of yours. So I got to be honest with myself. I got to be honest with you. I got to be honest with my business dealings. Got to be honest with the people at the bank. Got to be honest with the people in the store. Got to be honest with my wife. Got to be honest with my kids. Then that's what he says, be honest with all things. Got to be honest when I look at the Scriptures. And the Scriptures nail me. When the Scriptures nail me, I got to be honest to say, oh. Huh? That's what he says, providing honest for honest things. Now watch this. Not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Oh, my. That's a horse of another color. The believer is honest in all things. He wants to speak the truth. He wants to walk uprightly. He doesn't want to deal with the Word of God deceitfully with himself or with anybody else. He wants to be honest with his Word. He wants to be honest to people he deals with. And then let me tell you this. Another one of his ways is that he keeps us is this. Is the way of our being committed to the service and to the glory of God. We want to. One of our ways is we really want to be committed to God, to His glory, to His service, to His service. I heard a fellow preaching here a while back, and when he got through preaching, the only person that seemed like it was interested in the glory of God and serving God was himself. And that's, but you know, all of us are that way. I know we fall far short of it, but still it's our desire, ain't it? Don't we want to be committed to the Christ and His church and His people? And the believer is a person whose heart and life is consecrated, committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it says there in Acts 15:26, these men hazarded their lives for the sake of Christ and the gospel. Paul said, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That's just a reasonable thing to do. I don't know how many of y'all remember Lance Heller. Y'all remember Lance Heller was here a few years ago, missionary to New Guinea. Well, his father's down there now, his father and mother. And he's home now, getting his kids all in school. Now they're going back the first of the year, him and his wife. And there's no way, if you're going to go anywhere down there, you know, to go just to the closest town, it takes 8 hours, and it's just a few miles because the roads are bad. And they go up in those mountains up in yonder to preach to those tribes. And walk up in there and that. And I said, well, what if y'all was to get caught out on the road and your truck or something had to stay in your truck? I said, oh, no, we can't never do that. I said, it's too dangerous for white people, especially white women. But him and his wife and his baby daughter is going back down there again. They hazard their lives for the cause of crime. And I mean, you're talking about people that it ain't been too many years ago that they discovered people down there that they didn't even know existed. In those mountains down there. That's where they sit on anthills and eat ants. And they got on enough clothes to don't think nothing about it. That's what he preached. He sits on a white bucket and sits under some leaves and preaches to one or two people at a time. And they can't hardly wait to get back to doing that. Can't hardly wait. And that's what I'm talking about. Our life is dead and hid with Christ in God. This world and all it is, we're strangers and pilgrims here. And you know, and when Christ shall appear, who is our light, shall we also appear with Him in glory. That's what Paul meant. He said, I'm crucified. I'm dead with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And yet, the life that I now live in the flesh, I don't live it by my power, by my will, to my own glory. He said, I live it by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, our consecration, our commitment is not perfect, but it's sincere. And I believe it's growing. I believe the older we get, the more it grows, because the less we are connected to this world, God's weaning us from it. And one of these days, He's going to wean us plumb from it. And bless His name, what a day that'll be. Huh? And I'll tell you, here's the last thing that I'll talk about. But He said, He shall keep thee in all thy ways. The ways of faith in Christ. The way of obedience to Christ. The way of providential government. The way of honesty, integrity, of commitment to the glory of God. And then the way of the cross. The way of the cross. Look with me now in Luke 14. Luke 14. It's the way of the cross. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I'll show you right here in a minute, Luke 14. You know, the way of the cross is a way of death. The way of the cross is a way of death. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, except a man deny himself, take up his cross and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. Now, the way of the cross is a way of death. A way of slow death, not immediate death. Slow, lingering death. It's a way of shame. It's a place of rejection. It's a place of suffering. And here, look what our Lord Jesus said here in Luke 14:25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned. Now, multitudes followed him, and he just turned. And when he turned, no doubt they stopped, and he said unto them, if any come to me And hate not his father and his mother and his wife and children and brothers and sisters and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. What does he mean by that? He means this, that if you'd rather have a relationship with your mother, your father, your brothers and sisters more than me, then you're not worthy of me. You know, they left him when he called John and James and Peter out of that boat. He says, follow me. And they left their nets and their father and got out of that boat and walked away and followed Christ. And that's what he means. He means just that. Now, you're going to, if you know, people say, well, you can't, you just, you know, I got to love, I love my mother and I love my dad. I love my brothers and my sister. I love my kids. But they're not going to keep me from coming to Christ. I'm not going to stay home and go to hell with them. I'm not going to listen to what they think about Christ or what His gospel and His word. If they want to have a, if they want to become a believer in Christ, then we'll have wonderful fellowship. But I'm not going to perish because I'm going to listen to them and follow them and stay home with them while they're going to hell. I'm not going to do that. That's what our Lord means by that. Now, if you're going to put your relationship with your mother above your relationship with me, you just stay at the house. Just going home right now is what he's saying. That's what he's saying here. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, we all got a cross. We all, every one of us has got a cross. There's things about us that it's painful for us and we have to carry it. It's a burden. It's identifying with Christ, identifying with His death, identifying with His cross, identifying with His shame. Saying that cross that our Lord Jesus Christ died upon, that's the only hope I have. The one who died on that cross, not the time that it took place, but who it was that died. I'm going to take up that cross. I'm going to let everybody know I've got that cross. I want everybody to know that I identify with that cross. And who it was that was on that cross. It's not the cross itself, but what the cross represents. I'm going to identify with that. I want everybody to know that this is my only hope. When somebody starts talking about, yes, I believe salvation is by grace, but no, Christ. When I think that people say, well, I think y'all live it. No, it's Christ that put our sin away. We identify that there, oh, God's going to punish you for your sins. Not if you're in Christ, He's already punished you. God's judgment's going to come on us. Listen, God's judgment's already on this world, but I'll tell you one thing, it's not on me and you.
No, sure.
We're not going to bear the judgment of God. We're not going to do it. Why? Because we're bearing that cross. We're standing at that cross. We're bearing that cross. We're bearing the shame of it. We're bearing the glory of it. We're bearing the power of it. We're bearing the witness of it. And that's what he goes on to say. And he said, and this is the way it's going to be. He said, if you're going to follow me, it's going to cost you something. You know, folks, they'll get along with you fine until they find out you believe in election, or you believe in absolute sovereignty, or you believe in the total depravity of man, and then all of a sudden, they'll say, where in the world did you come up with that at? You mean you say you're one of the elect? You say you're chosen? Yes, I am. Who chose you? God did. Well, what made you so special? Nothing. Chose me by grace in Christ. And so they start, and that's owning the cross. That's why he took that, bear that cross. That's what it means. That's what Paul did when they said, you know, except you be circumcised and keep the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. Paul bore his cross, bore the cross of Christ, and so did Simon Peter, and said, you can't do that. He said, if we take the cross and preach anything besides Christ and His cross, we take the offense out of it. And we're not going to take the offense out of it. And that's why he said, which of you intend to build a tower? Sits down first, don't count the cost, that you got enough to finish it. Oh. Folks say, yeah, that's what our Lord said. He said, you're going to follow me, it's going to take something. And oh my, if he's not able to finish, and everybody began to mock him. Well, that fellow started out, I thought he was a Christian. I thought he really was a believer. I thought he was really something. But he quits. He can't bear the cross. He don't understand the scripture. He don't understand what took place at the cross. He thinks it's all in him. When he can't do it, he just quits. Or he hears what salvation is and he finally hears the message and he just quits. And oh, watch this. And saying this man began to feel able, not able, began to build, not able to finish. And what king going to war don't sit down and said, well, I've only got 1,000. 10,000, got 10,000, 20,000 going to come meet me. So, should I send an ambassador and ask for conditions of peace? Or am I going to go to war? And so likewise, our Lord said in verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now, what did he mean, forsake all he had? Now, how much have we forsaken for Christ? I tell you, we forsook all our righteousness, didn't we? We forsook our false professions, didn't we? And that's what he forsake all. Forsake all hopes, all aspirations, all self-confidence, all self-righteousness. He didn't tell us to leave our homes. He gave us our homes. When people hear us forsake all, they think you've got to walk away and leave everything. We're leaving everything. That's what Paul said. I count everything but dung for Christ. Everything else is lost. That's what he said. I count everything but lost for Christ. And that's what we do. We just cast everything else away and cast lots with him. And we don't bring none of that back in here. We walked off and left our former lives, our former hopes, our former dreams, our former righteousness, our former, the things that we used to glory in, we're now ashamed of. That's what he's talking about. And the believer willingly takes up his cross and follows his master. Day by day, regardless of cost or consequences, he seeks to do the will of the Lord and put himself in subjection to him. Not my will, but thine be done. Huh? He shall give his angels charge over thee, and he shall keep thee in all thy ways. Our Father, in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth as it is in Christ. God bless the word to our understanding tonight. Bless it to our faith. Bless it to our hearts. Cause it to bring forth fruit in us, Lord. We acknowledge, O Lord Jesus, that we can do nothing without you. Absolutely nothing. And we look to you for all things. And Father, we thank you that you in sovereign mercy brought us to that place where we count all things but dung for loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. To be found in him, to win him, to know him. God, we bless you for that. We know it's not natural. We know it's a supernatural act of God in our hearts and lives. God bless it to the hearts tonight for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen.